Gathol terangi marie, orangi nuye tui honei, o papu tuanukue takatonei, o te taioe afinei ia tātou, tihei mauri ora. This is The Green Desk on 95BFM.
This week for Green Desk, Mangrove Mitch teams up with the almighty Oscar Perez and heads to the last Zero Carbon Bill submission party held by School Strike New Zealand and Generation Zero. The two speak to representatives from both groups about the bill, what it means to them, and exactly what the new buzzword Just Transition means. Also, quick note, the audio has slight issues as when the interview was being recorded.
You're from School Strike New Zealand, not just Auckland, yeah?
Yeah.
Why has everyone gathered here tonight, do you reckon?
I reckon, it's the final night, so people are getting that last minute submission in. But also, I think people are realising now, after the submissions have been open for a while, that how like serious this is and how influential one submission can be. Because like they're looking for stories, they're looking for emotional stories, personal stories, especially if it's going to affect you in a way that it may not affect someone else. So.
Why do you reckon it takes emotional stories from the population to convince the government that they need to take more of a stance on climate change or the climate crisis?
It's a good question, and it's sad that that has to be asked, because we're already having a lack of action, and it's been a lack of action for about 30 years now. So, I don't know what goes on in their brains for that to be the reason that they finally listen, but if they're going to listen to school students taking the day off and striking and all the other things we do, then, you know, I'll take it. But action just needs to be
so
what's to come.
How do you reckon it makes you feel that there are people who have had the opportunity to do this and they're not going to be around to deal with these consequences, and they're the people that get to vote sort of thing?
It's such a shame. Like, it properly makes me so mad that it's had, like, it's fallen on the shoulders of children. Like, we are literally children. Like, I don't know, that just, it. I don't know how they can, like, sleep at night thinking that I'm sorry to go, it's so dramatic, but also, like, this is
very
so dramatic.
True.
This is a crisis.
Yeah.
Like, this is an emergency, and, like, no one is taking it as seriously as it should be, which is horrifying to watch as someone who can't vote.
You said, sorry to be dramatic. Julianne Gent, I think last week or this week, compared it kind of that, like, this generation's World War II.
Yeah, yeah.
And she copped a whole heap of flack, some heavy technical terms right there. But do you think that it is kind of like a just comparison for our generation?
Absolutely. Like, this is the biggest challenge humanity has faced today, and I'm okay with saying that, because it is, like, if action isn't taken, and substantial action isn't taken, that's the key word, because action can be taken. We see, like, what the Zero Carbon Bill was before the submissions, and hopefully it will change, because that action won't be good enough. It has to be substantial. And so, yeah, definitely, that was totally fine for her to make that comparison.
I think a thing that a few people objected to with the comparison was that World War II was kind of seen as an act of discrimination. Do you think that climate change and the climate crisis is also very discriminatory, and think that's something that's overlooked?
Yeah, definitely. This climate change will disproportionately affect people, and that needs to be addressed, because people are literally fighting for their lives out in, like, our neighbours, the Pacific Islanders, and they've got nothing, and we are a wealthy first world nation, and we are taking, like, no action. Do you want to speak on that a bit more?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that climate change is, like, a current issue. It's literally affecting so many people in the islands right now. Like, Kiribati is going underwater. Right now it's pretty much submerged. People have lost houses, and that kind of ties into the whole thing. Like, climate change is discriminating some groups. It's being caused by the rich and wealthy, yet it's affecting the, you know, the less wealthy, you know, people in the Pacific Islands, stuff like that. That's all.
Like, it's an economic problem. It's an everything problem. It's affecting people with disabilities. Like, when the time comes to it, how are they supposed to act when they may not have the resources to up and leave like all of the rest of us can? What about people, you know, who don't have the same amount of monies that the middle class and upper class do? Yeah, it's definitely going to disproportionately affect people, and it already is.
I think something that perhaps we've kind of seen, like, a lot of coverage from the media kind of presents climate change as, well, you can become zero waste by doing these fancy five steps, or you can help save the environment by doing this, but we can also, there's statistics that show that companies and large organizations have had much greater effect than the individual. Do you think that a lack of accountability of those companies has helped kind of accelerate the climate crisis?
That whole argument on individual change matters is, when you actually look into it more, you realise how little individual change matters. And I'm not saying people shouldn't make changes, because they absolutely should, and that is the way forward for communities and on that level. But if there's not systemic change, then there's nothing to back that individual change. The percentage of what individual change will help this crisis is so low. It's the system that needs to change.
And also, if you think about how many people can actually make those individual changes, it's usually more expensive, more inconvenient option. And again, it's discriminating against some people. So systematic change has to come with the individual change, and individual change is still important, but.
Just to add on to that, I think the guilt that's been placed upon individuals is really upsetting, because that guilt's been placed by the government and placed by big polluters to change the discourse or the conversation back onto the individual, and that's just disgusting, I think, because individuals are feeling a really high level of anxiety, and it's causing a lot of mental health effects on people, especially if they don't have the cost to make those individual changes that we're like being forced into, when it's the government that needs to change their ways.
I mean, I suppose that's the point of what the government would call a just transition, which I think is something that isn't happening. Is there anything in your guys' submission which is talking maybe about just transition?
Definitely.
And, you know, making it less disproportionate in terms of people in class?
Yeah, just transitions is constantly mentioned, especially in the national team strategy calls, and anything we do in our kaupapa, it's all about a just transition, because changes can't be made right now, and people can't deal with those changes if they're sudden and if they're really extreme as well, for making up for the lack of action if they're too extreme. Especially when it comes to agriculture, we talk about a just transition a lot for farmers and people also working in the oil companies and the fossil fuel industry, because they're not to blame. It's the people high up that are to blame. Those people are just trying to put food on their table. Like, how can you call them out for literally doing their job? So it's not a great position to be in, but if there's not a just transition for those people that has financial stability and help and also jobs in the renewable energy sector, then there's no point in doing it, because those people are like the lifeblood of our industries and our economy, and they need help through this.
So kia ora, my name's Bruce Kidd, so I'm the co-convener for the Auckland Generation Zero Zero Carbon Act team.
Kia ora, my name is Dewey. I have been volunteering for Generation Zero since March last year. I specifically lead the business sector engagement team, and I'm part of the Generation Zero Auckland Zero Carbon Act working group as well.
What is it about tonight and making these submissions for you guys that, like, got you here? Because obviously not everyone's here, and it's not maybe not as important to everyone, but what is it to you guys? What does this mean to you guys?
So personally for me, my journey with climate change started in 2013. Feels like everything that I have done then, so starting off with international negotiations such as COPs, to protesting in the streets of Auckland for fossil free, for stopping oil conferences, and then now to legislating the zero carbon bill, it all culminates to this moment of us being able to influence it and strengthen it before we pass it on to the government to then make sure that it's implemented properly. And so, it feels like all of those years have come down to this one moment wherein I can personally say that, like, I've done everything that I can to make sure that my job and my part to climate action is something that I will never regret.
So how did the, like, when the bill was released, what was your first thoughts and feelings, like your emotion about it?
Personally, I was like, oh shit, it's here. I was like, finally, it happened. But at the same time, all of us were kind of shocked that it's happened so suddenly. And the reason why is because I think as activists, we kind of think that everything just happens, you know, it takes its time. Mm-hmm. And so when it happened, I remember it was our, we had our meeting, mm-hmm. and everyone was like, okay, guys, we need a drink. and now we need to rethink, okay, what's the strategy? Yeah. What do we need to do? Because it kind of trudged along from, you know, 2016 of like no one listening to us to suddenly going, okay, 2019, first reading, bam, it's been introduced. And then, yeah, May 2019, bam, that's consultations starting. And so it was definitely overwhelming.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I echo exactly what Dewey's been talking about. It was, I was excited, obviously, that it had come out. I mean, being one of the first countries to legislate a 1.5 degree target is brilliant, but there was tons of weaknesses in the bill that we really wanted to strengthen. So, yeah, very excited about that, but really motivated to try and strengthen it and work to try and make sure that we get the strongest bill possible to help address this climate emergency.
We've spoken a few people about the just transition, but for you guys and Gen Zero, how would you guys sort of envision...
how would you define it as well? What is a just transition?
So for me personally, one thing that I know for sure the bill is going to have is disruption. It's going to disrupt in the short term in terms of jobs, but it's going to have long-term disruptions as well in terms of the systems that we're in, which is all very dependent on fossil fuels. And so for me personally, whenever I define just transition, what that means for me is acknowledging that there would be disruptions and making solutions towards easing the fall for those who will be directly affected by those disruptions, either in the short term or in the long term. For me, I come from a privileged perspective in the sense that my job as a lawyer is not necessarily affected by fossil fuels, right? Like, I drive an EV, I can take the train, which is an electric train, from my house to town. So coming from a privileged point of view, just transition for me means very different to those who are, say, for example, in Taranaki, working in mining, in oil and gas, etc., and uses that as their main point of income. But at the end of the day, the whole point of the Zero Carbon Bill is to acknowledge those short-term disruptions for the sake of long-term disruptions, which is to change our systems from, you know, from fossil fuels to renewables. And so if that's the case, then it's up to the government to make sure that those who will be directly affected by that will have solutions in a way in which they can still provide for their families, that they will be given proper trainings in terms of transitioning from fossil fuels to renewables. So whether that be, one thing that I can think of that's salient is more training in terms of technologies such as renewable energy. I guess like that transition for me is more than just providing jobs. It's actually like teaching them, or teaching those who are in this systems that are heavily dependent on fossil fuels, that there is a way out. So say, for example, like in the last 5 years, New Zealand hasn't opened any wind farms or solar farms, which is bizarre to me because of the fact that we should be transitioning towards that. So there's been bad faith from, the government or the private sector in terms of thinking that, look, transition must happen like sooner than later because the cost of inaction is actually greater than the cost of acting now. And so that in itself adds to the definition of solutions for those who will be affected.
That was the Green Desk on 95 BFM. Tihei Modi Order.